Blog Talk Radio.
Dallas, Texas, on Friday, October the 12th, day number 286 of 2012. We're counting down to Election Day, and today we're going to be talking about the Hispanic vote in Texas. Fascinating topic. We've got quite a panel of participants today. I think this is going to be a great program. Of course, this is Happy Columbus Day, so we say that. I think that's what they used to say when we were growing up. Anyway, Happy Columbus Day. As always, our sponsor, Avalon Professional Translations, and we've got Leonard with us on the phone. And Leonard, you've got some exciting things happening at Avalon.
Well, we do, Silvio. We're pretty excited to be rolling out our language education classes, both in English and Spanish. You know, what we're doing is we've got ESL English classes that are targeted towards light manufacturers, say warehouse distribution folks, that that might have some people that want to improve their English proficiency to make things run smoother around the plant and the office. But we're also rolling out some Spanish classes in the medical industry that are destined towards medical dental offices. To help the staff there better deal with some of their Hispanic clientele that come in for medical and dental work. So if you work in one of those two environments and you need to improve your conversational level, we've got a three-month intense program, meets a couple times a week, and we're taking classes now. And when you roll out of this thing 3 months later, you're going to have a much better conversational command of either one of the two languages, depending on what your situation is. So we're really excited about it, and it's a good fit with the type of folks that that we're working with and the clientele we serve.
Absolutely, and one of the things for some of the companies who may be interested in this, one of the things is that you take a person that maybe you're grooming to be, let's say, a plant, you know, a supervisor or a team leader, and you want this person to become more proficient in English so that he can read some documents and talk to the management. We'll take a person like that. We'll give him an intensive three-month conversation class, and you've got a better worker at the end of it, Leonard.
Oh, absolutely. It's better for the company. It's better for the individual involved that may have some limited English proficiency, and it's better all the way around. And you know, at a reasonable cost, you're able to get these folks in and just get the English level up to a point where it works better for everybody.
I think you're right, because I think that these people will not only be better workers, but they'll be better citizens. You know, once their English improves, they'll be able to do more things, get better informed, read newspapers, and so on. So I think it's a win-win situation for the employer, for the employee. Avalon Professional Translations. We have a link to the Avalon website on the show information, but it's avalontranslations.com. And the phone number over there is 972-404-123. So that's an easy number to remember.
972-404-123.
That's right. But I want to thank you, Leonard, so much for your sponsorship and your friendship, and thank you so much. I think this is going to be a very successful program for Avalon. I just know it will be.
You bet, Silvio.
All right, well, you have a great day and get back to work.
Do the same. Sounds like you got a great program coming up today.
We sure do. We have a great program today. Leonard Shokoff of Avalon Professional Translations. As I say, we have a link to Avalon on the show information. You can just click on their website, and you'll go directly to them. We're going to take a little break, and we'll be back with our group right after this. is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas. Just a couple of things from our history pages. Of course, 1492, Columbus landed in what we now call the Dominican Republic. 1870, the great Robert E. Lee passed away on this day in 1870. And 2000, this is a tragic one. In 2000, the USS Cole was hit on a day like this, right in the middle of the election. That's the interesting thing. We're going to begin. We have a great roundtable today. We're going to begin with Tom Washington. How are you, Tom?
They need to provide.
All right, wait a minute. Tom, is that who's that one? Tom Washington?
Yes, hi. This is Tom Washington.
Hey, Tom, how are you?
Good. I'm trying to find a parking space in a mall here.
All right, but don't hit anybody, because then you're going to blame it on me.
That's true. There's more people hit here because there's no spaces.
Okay, very good. Well, I thought we would start with Tom. I'm going to put all the other folks online, and then what I like to do is when I call your name, if you can, this is like in school, you know, where the teacher would say present or you would say present, kind of like that, and everybody say present, and then I know we're on. Well, of course, we got Tom. Let's say Tom Melker, are you with us?
Yeah, I'm here. It's actually Tom Meckler.
Meckler, okay, I'm sorry. So welcome, Tom. Frank Steed?
Frank Steed is here as well.
All right, great. And we've got Aaron Pena.
I'm right here.
Absolutely. Welcome, Aaron. We have Michael Berlanga.
Yes, sir, I'm here.
Great, absolutely wonderful. And then we have Mark Bolger, or...
Bolger.
Bolger, okay, so you're
like,
on with
like,
us as well.
Like the quarterback with the D, though.
Oh, okay, very good. Very good. So I just want to say welcome to all of you, friends. Welcome to our program. It's a great honor to have you on, and I want to thank Tom Washington for helping me put this together. I'm going to begin with Tom. Tom, tell us about the Hispanic vote and the GOP and what we're trying to do to gain a percentage of that vote in this election.
Because there's two Toms on here, we go by Tom W. and Tom M. when we're together, so that we know which one is supposed to answer.
I'll say Tom W. when it's your turn.
Tom W. Okay, super. I'd rather let Tom Meckler tee it up if that's okay.
That'd be great. Go ahead, Tom. Tom.
Okay.
This is the other Tom,
Silvio,
right?
Thanks. Yeah, I'm the other Tom. Well,
great.
I'm actually the treasurer of the Republican Party of Texas. Served several years as a county chairman up in the Panhandle. And kind of how this got started, I guess, going back two decades, is I found when I was the county chairman in Gray County, which is where Pampa is, northeast of Amarillo, that a lot of people that we would talk to on the street or whatever and walk up and say, you're Republican or Democrat, they'd say, well, I think I'm a Democrat, or what's the difference? Is there any difference? I said, well, there's a big difference. We have very different philosophies and very different beliefs. So what happened was the community was very conservative, and we still had probably 57% of the population believed they were Republican, and I think 43% thought they were Democrats. So we started running ads. We did a platform comparison ad that we ran in the newspaper, local newspaper, several times, and just did these we had columns, and we had several key issues, a lot of social issues, also some fiscal issues, and explained that there was a difference between Republican and Democrats. And then at the very bottom of the ad, it would say, if you're a conservative, then you're a Republican, because the Republican Party is the only conservative party. So from there, I used those back back in the 90s as a county chairman. We basically had about a 50-50 split between Republicans and Democrats when it came to elected officials. By the time we had run that ad in two election cycles, everybody had become Republicans. And now the Republican Party, Republican primary shows about 92% of the votes cast in the Republican primary. So then I actually had people when I went to check the mail on the street that would come up to me and say, I'm so glad you ran that ad. I thought I was a Democrat. When I saw the ad, I realized I was really a Republican. And several of the issues, which I think I'll let Frank touch on some of his also, but a lot of the issues are like gun control, same-sex marriage, abortion issues, protection of the unborn. The Republicans are very conservative. The Democrats are not conservative. They're very liberal. The party is very liberal. So when I ran for state chairman in 2010, and Steve Munister, who is our state chairman, he prevailed in that race, and I became the treasurer. I was part of a training session for new chairs, new county chairs, and new SREC members. That's State Republican Executive Committee members. That's the committee that actually runs the state party. But in a training, I explained that these ads that I had run as a county chairman, Frank Steed, who's on this call, was in that meeting and in that training session. He says, hey, this is something I think would be helpful. So allow me, if you would, Silvio, let me hand the baton to Frank.
Absolutely. Go ahead, Frank.
Thank you, Silvio. I was a new county chairman, as Tom said, and I sat and listened to a class that he was doing, heard the same explanation that he just gave, and I'm from a rural Texas county, Navarro County, south of Dallas, around Corsicana. Very heavy Democrat, had not elected a Republican since Reconstruction until 1998, had been pecking away at that. But as I came in 09, looking for how do I take all these great conservatives and convince them that they're really not Democrats anymore, that they are now Republicans, and heard Tom's ad, I latched onto it, asked him to send me a copy, and put together some print ads and started having some of the same success he was having. And along with that, as we started a Hispanic movement and developed our own Hispanic club with the help of GOP, as for me, out of Waco, they said, could we have some cards so that we could walk up and knock on the doors, and when we're talking to Hispanics and have these conservative values and talk to them about their religious beliefs and talk to them about the social issues that are in this and help them understand that the party that they vote for does not represent their beliefs. We printed these cards and put them in their hands. And long story short, what we've done is taken a county that was 100% Democrat in the early 2000s through 2010. We won every race we were in and took six seats. And the race we were not competitive in, the Democrats in that looked up and said, hey, we're conservative. You've been embarrassing us with these ads and knocking on doors and talking to folks. And if we had had a competitor, we had lost, and we guess we better convert. So we converted all but two of those competitive seats. The two folks that wouldn't convert are not running for election this year. We'll win those races, and we will go from a county that was 100% Democrat 12 years ago to a county that's 100% Republican this year. And in the primary, where it had always been 65% Democrats voting, in this past primary, we voted 85% Republican, and that was with the aid of a lot of great Hispanics who have realized that they are Republicans, in fact, because they have the same conservative values that we do.
Absolutely. You're exactly right, and I can share a little bit of that. I'm actually Cuban-American, and sometimes the Hispanic left doesn't like to call us Hispanics, but we really are. And, you know, I've always felt that Hispanics, obviously a lot of Mexican-Americans in this area, are very conservative. And when I go out and I talk to them, you know, when it comes to abortion, when it comes to marriage, when it comes to family issues, they agree with us on those. And we should be pounding that drum. And, of course, the economy, too. That's extremely important. Who should go next, Tom? I know there's quite a few here in the roundtable. So who would you like to recommend to go next?
Well, I'll take it from here for a little bit.
Okay, great.
When Tom and I heard about Frank's success with the card in Navarro County, we realized that this might be a tool that we could use statewide. Mark Bolger, who will also speak, had approached us about putting fundraising together to allow us to distribute this card throughout the state of Texas. But because it's a card that works so well in a discussion, we really needed to plug it in to people who would actually be able to distribute the card and talk to, you know, Hispanics and Latinos one-on-one about the values that the Republican Party supports and that the Democrat Party doesn't support. And really get past the, I don't want to really say lies, but maybe untruths in the way that some Democrat Latino candidates may run, you know, standing on a platform that is less like the actual Democratic Party national platform when they actually run their race. This particular card makes it clear what the Democrat Party stands for versus the Republican Party, and we think it makes a clear impression on the person that sees it. And our target audience is Hispanics or Latinos that vote Democrat, who are independent, who have not affiliated yet with the Republican Party. And these are people that we need to bring into the fold and educate on what the Republican Party stands for, and show them that they really need to be with us in these elections to help promote these values.
Excellent, Tom. Excellent.
Mark,
well, I know
Mark,
one thing, Tom.
Boulders,
If I could just add one quick thing, Tom. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but one big advantage we have this year when we're talking to Hispanics is the economy. Is the economy has hit Hispanic communities very hard. 11% unemployment. And
that is really one of the biggest points.
That's right.
It's one of the things. This is Mark Boulder. The obvious is, when you're talking to, first off, we find the Hispanic community historically are good Christian folks that they're not on board with same-sex marriages and all the things that are proposed there. And they want to protect the unborn, especially the Hispanic Catholics. And those are the obvious ones, but the ones that are also on the card, when you talk about domestic oil exploration, when you stop and you talk to these folks and you watch them light up when they recognize how much their own personal finances have been damaged over the last 4 years, and you realize, just for example, in the oil exploration, when you don't drill in the Gulf and you don't build a pipeline, and you see the Nancy Pelosi's and the like standing up there screaming for windfall profit taxes against these evil oil companies, it doesn't take a really super bright mathematician to know that if you don't do these things, you don't build a pipeline, you don't drill in the Gulf, you see oil prices go to $4 and $5 a gallon, and subsequently, when you do the math and you realize you think you're getting at the rich, well, I assure you, Exxon's net margin profits were 7% before a tax, and they'll be 7% after a tax. So where does go but to the pump? And if you look at somebody, the rich guy who makes $300,000 a year, and he uses $3,000 a year worth of gasoline, and his worker who makes $30,000 a year, he also uses $3,000 a year worth of gasoline. Well, that $3,000 represents 10% of the poor guy's income, and it represents only 1% of the rich guy. You're not getting the rich guy. You are hurting the poor folks and the people who are the working poor and trying to buy milk at $4.50 a gallon. And when you consider all the attacks that have gone on corporate America right now, I mean, look at just a Coca-Cola can. All the companies, the aluminum extrusion company, the ink that went on the can, the syrup company that made it, and you know, a millionaire doesn't drink 40 more Cokes than somebody who makes $25,000 a year. So you're not getting at the rich folks. You're really causing the division of classes you claim you're against. But then you get to these social issues, and I'm a past faithful navigator of the Knights of Columbus for our area. And though we can't make it an official product of the church or the Knights of Columbus, there are many people who are championing these concerns and causes, and it is nothing is more exciting than to have somebody look at that card. And we've got videos out there that have been running on YouTube. It is amazing when somebody walks up to your table, looks at this card, reads the point, looks up and he goes, I'm a Republican. And I, yes, you are. And nothing is more exciting. It is absolutely. I'm so invigorated by this program, and we really are excited to see people get cut through the clutter and realize that they're not the victims that the Democrats need them to be. They're being offered social programs, but they want a job, and they want their personal, social concerns, religious concerns to be recognized. And
absolutely,
this card reminds them that it does.
Absolutely. And I should say, I was going to say one quick thing. I'm also a member of the Knights of Columbo, Mark, so thank you for mentioning that. I'm a member here in my church. Go ahead, Tom.
I invited Michael Berlanga to join us because we are distributing a major amount of these cards in this election cycle through Michael Berlanga. Michael is running for the Texas State Senate in SD19. He's a candidate that we're really excited about. I wanted Michael to share his experience with these cards with everybody. Michael?
Great, Michael. Go right ahead.
Well, first of all, I'll give you a little background. I'm a son of a Mexican immigrant, and I'm blessed to run for a district that represents half the border of Mexico, which, as you know, is troubling to us from a foreign policy issue as the Middle East, for those who are in tune with what's going on in Piedras Negras and Ciudad Acuña. And what I find most beneficial about the quality of this card, and just dumbing down to some key points, is that it's in English and in Spanish. And that cannot be overemphasized. I was in Fort Stockton, where the former mayor of Del Rio has a restaurant, and he took this card and he took to both sides of it and put it, posted it, in the public waiting area, so people could see the difference. And we're seeing the difference, especially when we travel to Eagle Pass and Del Rio and South San Antonio, where the predominant orientation has been, well, you're Mexicano, so you must be a Democrat, or you're Catholic, so you must be a Democrat. And I don't think we've ever had a more perfect storm for a distinction between the parties. And as a result of this card, we're turning heads, and we're getting as much request for this, which is helping our, as we describe, our undervote. We're in my district alone, in Bexar County, specifically, we have as many as 8 Hispanic Republican candidates for either county, state, or federal races. That is a multiplier of over 4-1. I was introduced to the partisan politics by helping John Garza get elected to the State House of Representatives, and working with Aaron Pena, who I know is also on the line, we recognize that there is a place in the party for those who are of our culture and who are also now being affirmed by their faith, many of whom are Catholic, that are recognizing that this is an attack on religious freedom. And so this is no longer the Democrat Party's frame of reference as it was perhaps in the early 60s when John F. Kennedy was the first Catholic to become a president and was strong on foreign policy and was strong on lowering taxes. This is a whole different direction, as evidenced by the way the platform came about, and they could not even agree on whether to put God on the platform. So the diversity of this card and is having a great deal of appreciation by the state representative candidates, Colonel Casillas, Ana Campos, John Garza, and on, that I can't thank y'all enough for having the genius not only to do it, but then to raise the money to not only help us get the cards distributed on a hand-to-hand basis, but perhaps raising the funds to run these images of the cards in the rural newspapers, where we find a more balanced presentation by the media than we do in the bigger urban cities.
Great, Aaron. That's a great presentation, and best of luck in your campaign. Tom and guys, I just wanted to alert everybody that I need to take a break at 12:30, and then after I talk to my sponsor, then we'll have another 10 minutes or so to continue our roundtable. I just wanted you guys to be aware of that schedule. But, Tom, who's next?
Well, I'm going to be brave and give out my phone number. If somebody wants to be a part of something exciting and give me a call and be a part of the contribution, they're welcome to call me at 979.
Yeah, I was going to say also that if you guys want to send me links to your campaigns, I'll put them on the show information. I just didn't have them before. So go ahead and give the number and then email me the links to your campaigns.
Super. 979-739-8080.
Okay.
And I'm going to tell you now, you'll never see a dollar go farther. I truly believe that, and that's why I'm passionate and involved as I am, because so many times you give money out and it goes to a large campaign for a he said, she said kind of ad, and
right. This
one actually wakes you, when you watch it, wakes somebody up. It's and the cards are not expensive for what they do.
Great. Super.
Mark, are you willing to give a mailing address out, too, for those that want to just go ahead and mail a contribution in made out to the Republican Party of Texas?
Do you want to just send it to you guys, or you want it to come? Why don't you go ahead and give out a P.O. box there, or I can give out my P.O. box. That'd be fine.
Yeah, go ahead and give your P.O. box.
Yeah, P.O. box 13, Lucky 13. My daughter was born on P.O. box 13, Caldwell, Texas. That's C-A-L-D-W-E-L-L, Texas 77833. 1-800-636.
Great. What I was going to, again, tell everybody on the roundtable today, that if you send me the links to your respective websites or whatever, I think I've got Tom Washington's already on the link. That way we'll have something permanent that people can link to and go to at a subsequent time. We've got about 5 minutes, Tom, so who would you like to go next?
State Representative Aaron Pena is distributing the cards in a slightly different campaign area. I was really interested to get Aaron's experiences, too. Aaron,
welcome.
Oh, yes. Oh, thank you for having me. I love the
pleasure.
Discussion. Let me first tell everybody where I'm from. I'm from the border region. I'm down in the McAllen area, literally down on the Rio Grande, right before you get into Mexico. And I've served here as a state representative for 10 years. 8 of those years, I was a Democrat. And my experience was, rather than being confronted by a card like this, I had to be confronted on the floor of the House of Representatives with each of my votes. And so when I found myself voting for the Second Amendment, for the right to bear arms in an area in South Texas where everybody hunts and fishes and carries a gun because it's part of our rural and western roots, that was easy for me. But I found myself standing with Republicans. And then when it came down to questions like the balanced budget, that was easy for me as well because we're fairly frugal people. We live frugally, and we're rural people, so we understand how to take care of ourselves, and we didn't understand how a government could just waste money by spending more than they had. And so that was easy, but, you know, I was standing with Republicans again, and the Democrats were usually chewing me out on that. When it came to questions of protecting the right to life of the unborn, you know, most of us down here are Catholic, and if we're not Catholic, we're fairly traditional people in our beliefs, and we believe every Sunday, at least, we believe that you know, we should be protecting the life of the unborn, and certainly our Constitution gives the right of life to everybody, including the unborn. And so again, I was standing with Republicans, and you know what? When the election cycles came up, I found myself targeted by the liberal wing of the Democratic Party, and they ran candidates against me, and I found that the people who I stood with, Republicans, were the ones supporting me. And it came that after being targeted 2 or 3 times and realizing that I stood with the Republicans and they stood with me, that that's where I belonged. What's great about this card is that rather than go through the 8-year experience I went through, you're confronted with the issues right in front of you. And when you go down the list, it's really quite simple. If you give somebody this card who was raised as I was in South Texas, the answer is really easy. And, you know, we've been passing these things out, and they've been going like hotcakes. Matter of fact, some folks from Corpus were down in the valley. That's 2.5 hours away from us. And they wanted some, so they swiped some away from me. So I'm probably going to be asking for more because these things are going really fast, and people really like them. And I think it's changing the hearts and minds of people as people realize who they are. The Democratic Party that I once thought I belonged to, the one that was represented by John F. Kennedy, is long gone. This is now the party of Pelosi and the far left.
That's right.
And that is not where our people from Texas are at, and it's not where the Hispanic people of Texas are at. And
absolutely.
So what I love about this is that it gives in very plain English or Spanish the issues that each of the parties stands for, and when confronted by that, the choice is really quite easy.
Absolutely. Here's what I like to do, guys. We're going to take a little break, and then when we come back, Tom, I'll let you again co-host with me today and tell me where we go. But what I would like to do is for one of you guys to read the card and some of the issues that are being highlighted on the card. If you could do that, we'll have about 10 minutes after my sponsor, and we'll be able to wrap it up. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas. We're talking about the Hispanic vote today with quite a few friends, and we're going to take a little break, and we're going to learn right now about Aaron Cleary and his book, Worthless, one of our sponsors on our show today. So we will be back in a minute with our panel after we talk to Aaron Cleary, who, in fact, is with me right now. How are you, Aaron?
Hey, how you doing, Silvio?
Absolutely great. How do you like all these Texans here running for election?
I trust them more than I do Minnesotans, that's for sure.
Absolutely. How did you like the one about the Second Amendment? I know you're a big believer on that one.
I have many different guns, and I like the Second Amendment. Yes. You're not going to get an argument from me there.
Yeah, we have a really interesting challenge here in the Southwest because we have a lot of Hispanics who are really conservative in how they view the world, but unfortunately, they've been voting Democrat. So our challenge is to connect them with the values, the conservative values, and this panel today is just, that's what they're doing, and it's absolutely wonderful. Now, tell me about this book that you've been talking about for several days.
Well, the book is called Worthless, and the subtitle is The Indispensable Young Person's Guide to Choosing the Right Major, and that's precisely what it is. I wanted to write a book that would help the youth kind of see the realities of the labor market, the realities of going to college, and make sure that they didn't spend, you know, a lot of money and a lot of their time on getting a degree that just wasn't going to pay off. So it goes through all the different type of degrees, like you know, the science, technology, engineering, and math. It compares them to the liberal arts. And it doesn't just say, yeah, become a chemical engineer, because I think we kind of all know that explains why it is that way. It explains the economics behind why chemical engineers make more than a sociology major. And I think in doing so, it becomes a much more convincing book, especially to the young people who, if you remember, you know, being young like me, I'm sure you were probably not the greatest straight-A student like myself, and we needed a little bit more cajoling than simply some parents telling us what to do. So hopefully it gets through to those kids, and it convinces them to make a good decision.
What do you mean by, in the book you talk about the education bubble, what do you mean by that?
Well, it's a bubble, just like any other bubble, like the housing bubble. It's where, for whatever social or political purposes, people decide that they're going to throw a ton of money into some kind of investment. And people, and you know, you can always say, well, you know, housing is good investment and education is a good investment. But if you just willy-nilly throw trillions of dollars into it, it gets to the point that prices are driven up that investment is no longer worthwhile. And so what you got to do is analyze that, kind of a cost-benefit analysis, to determine whether or not the $100,000 you're going to spend on whatever degree is actually going to be paid back, or if your time is just better spent working or going to a tech school or something like that.
Or vocational school. That's another one of the...
Or vocational school, right.
Yeah, that's, or even going into the U.S. Army or the Armed Forces, I guess.
Absolutely. That is an outstanding option, especially for young people. It's what I would have done if I were to do it all over again.
Yeah, that's one of the things, talking about your book, I don't think you get into this in the book, but the idea that maybe that's one of the negative consequences of having done away with the draft, that a lot of people would go into the Army and in many ways would get better direction because they were serving in the armed forces, but they were drafted, but still they were, you know, introduced to certain training and certain skills that they're not getting now because now we're only doing a volunteer Army.
Right, and you know, we could debate the morality of the draft, but there's one definite benefit that the draft did have, as it took young boys and turned them into men. There, you wouldn't have thuggery or crime. Well, you would still have crime, but not to the extent that we do. I'm sure, especially with your boy who went into the military, you know, not that you didn't bring him up right, but you even noticed the difference where he came back and he was polished and much more of a contributing civilian and a genuine man by the time he got out.
Absolutely. And in fact, we're talking about our number three son who's now serving in the U.S. Army. And my first two decided to go to Texas A&M, and they're doing absolutely great, after their graduation. But our number three son didn't know what he wanted to do. So instead of going to community colleges and getting C's, he decided to go into the U.S. Army. And 2 years later, I'm telling you, The U.S. Army has turned an 18-year-old boy into a very mature 20-something or 20-year-old young man, and I'm grateful to that. Well, we have a link to the book, Aaron, on the show information, but why don't you tell the folks how they can get the book?
Well, easiest place, just go to Amazon.com and look up the book Worthless. It should be the first hit. You can buy it on paperback for $13, or you can get it on Kindle for $5.
And we definitely recommend it. I've read the book, and I tell you, I wish I had read this book when my boys were in high school. Aaron, have a great day up in Minnesota.
Sounds good. Have a good weekend, Silvio.
All right. We're going to take a little break, and we will be back with our panel right after this. Silvio Cantu in Dallas, Texas. And again, we encourage you to support our sponsors, Avalon Professional Translations, right here in Dallas. They do great work in the area of translating documents. And, of course, our new sponsor, Aaron Cleary, who's written the book Worthless, a fascinating book about the education bubble or higher education in the United States. Let me bring back Tom Washington, who, along with me, has Aggies in his family. Right, Tom?
I do. I have two Aggies in my family.
Yeah, well, so do I. I have two Aggies who graduated and one in the U.S. Army. What do we call the guy in the U.S. Army? He's not an Aggie, so what do we call him? I guess a soldier, right?
Or a success.
I think a hero, maybe.
Maybe a hero. There
a
you
hero.
Go. I like that. I like that. Whoever said that, I really like that. Tom, we've got about 10 minutes, and I thought maybe we could take the next step and talk a little bit more about this project. And I'd love to hear what the card says, if anybody would like to read it.
Well, I thought maybe Tom Meckler could share with us another phase in this project, which is the print ad phase and our need for additional funding.
Sure.
Great.
Yeah, I'll do that. But let me, before we do that, Silvio, let me respond to your request. I think that maybe some of the listeners are thinking, you know, what is this, some kind of a magic card? What's so great about this card? And it's not necessarily the card. This happens to be a push card. But we also, as Tom Washington just mentioned, want to go into doing some print ads, which is the main avenue that I had used as a county chairman to get this information out. But the reason it's so powerful and so effective is it's just simple truth. There's no reason to make something complicated, especially when it comes to our belief systems. And I think that a lot of times people think that in all the political rhetoric that takes place, we just throw up our hands and say, why can't they just talk to us straight out? And that's why this whole situation with these cards and these print ads are so impactful, is because it's very, very simple. There's 8 issues on this card, or 8 issues in the ad. First one is same-sex marriage, gun control, Obamacare or government-mandated health care, protection of the unborn, school prayer, balanced budget, which relates to the federal budget, extending tax cuts, and domestic oil exploration. So we go down this ad and we say same-sex marriage. Democrats are in favor of that. Republicans are against it. Gun control. The Democrats are in favor of gun control. The Republicans are against that. Obamacare, government-mandated health care, the Democrats are in favor of that. The Republicans, again, are against that. When it comes to the protection of the unborn, the Republicans are in favor of that. The Democrats have demonstrated over and over again that they're opposed to it. School prayer, another example, the Republicans are very much in favor of that. The Democrats are against it. The balanced budget, as many of the listeners will probably realize, there's a $1 trillion deficit that's been run every year for the last 4 years under this current president. And should he be elected, heaven help us if that would ever happen. I hope it certainly doesn't. There's no indication that that would change. The continuing deficit, $1 trillion deficits, would continue. I'm 55 years old. I'm not going to pay that money back. My children and my grandchildren are going to get stuck paying that back, just as yours are. Balanced budget, the Republicans are in favor. The Democrats are opposed to that. Extending tax cuts to try and continue to stimulate the economy. The Republicans are in favor. The Democrats are opposed to that. Domestic oil exploration, as Mark Bolger had mentioned. The Republicans favor that. The Democrats are opposed to it. And at the bottom of this ad, as I mentioned previously, this one, it says also, if you're a conservative, If you are opposed to same-sex marriage, opposed to gun control, opposed to government-mandated health care, in favor of protection of the unborn, in favor of school prayer, balanced budget, extending tax cuts, domestic oil exploration, those are all, that is a very conservative belief system. And if you're a conservative, the Republican Party, then you must be a Republican, because the Republican Party is the only conservative party. The plan at this point, we have raised, well, Mark Bolger, who had to leave the call, he had raised, $4,500, and we used that money to print 76,000 copies of these pushcards. The next step to getting this message out is to raise enough money to do print ads that basically is exactly what I just described to you, what's on this pushcard. That those ads would be put into all, mainly in the rural Hispanic areas, south of San Antonio and west of San Antonio, just as Senate District 19 candidate Mike Berlanga spoke about a few minutes ago. It's an amazing thing how liberating truth is. And I've seen over the years, I've been involved politically for 25 years. Also, Silvio, just as a sidebar, I'm also an Aggie.
Oh, right.
But in the last 25 years, what I've seen is the Democrats thrive on deceiving people. The party does. The Democrats, the rank and file, the people that are neighbors, they're not deceiving people. It's the leadership of that party that deceives people, and they won't ever tell the truth. They don't want, because they need to manipulate and control the people that follow them. But, you know, the truth is so liberating, and this is the truth that we've explained to you. The listeners can look it up on the platforms. You can do a Google search for the different parties' platforms, and it's right there, black and white. It's out there. That's exactly the way the Democrats believe, and conversely, the Republicans, who are conservative, believe that way, as I just articulated.
Absolutely. That's absolutely great. I appreciate that. I would like to ask, we've got about 3 or 4 minutes left, but I wanted to ask a question. I don't know if it's Michael or Aaron who's running down at the U.S. border. Who's the candidate at the U.S. border? Is it Michael or Aaron?
Well, I'm
down at the border. This is Representative Penny. I'm down at the border, but Michael Berlanga is running. I am not running for re-election.
But it you don't necessarily have to be a candidate. I was thinking more of the issue of gun control down on the border because of all the violence, you know, and we know that some of these cartels will come in, they will walk through your farm and put your family in jeopardy. I mean, I think the idea of being able to defend yourself would have to be pretty popular in a community under siege by cartels. Do you understand what I mean?
Oh, absolutely. Look, I have a friend who was over here the other night while we were barbecuing. He was showing me his handgun, and I asked him why he was carrying it while he was, you know, wearing shorts and we're out at the swimming pool. And he said that he lives in an area that's near the border where they have what we call pseudo cop break-ins. Those are people who dress up like police officers. They break into your home, they tie up your family, your children, they rob you, or they do other things. And these things occur quite often because it's part of the stock and trade of the gangs and the drug cartels that operate down here. So you need to have a gun in order to protect yourself. And certainly if you live in a rural area, you're the only law that you're going to find. By the time you get the sheriff out there, you're probably gone if the cartels get a hold of you. And so the right to bear arms is more than just hunting and fishing, as I earlier described, although we love to do that. It's about protecting yourself. And as the violence here on the border gets worse and worse, more and more people are deciding to protect themselves. And we're not going to allow the Obama administration to take away our right to bear arms.
Absolutely. So that has to be a winning issue down in the border. That's my point. You know, gun control, the values issues, obviously abortion, same-sex marriage, all of those issues are winning issues with Hispanics. I know that just from myself and talking to people. So I really congratulate all of you for what you're doing, guys. Tom Washington, what I like to do is kind of wrap it up. If you could wrap it up, or Tom M. or Tom Washington, whichever one of you would like to wrap it up.
I'll take a stab at it. This is Mike Berlanga. This is Mike Berlanga, and I just want to add to what Aaron Pena was saying, because it's real simple. Go to the news and recognize that that the the 130 prisoners escaped only 2 weeks ago.
Right.
The son of the former governor of Coahuila was murdered.
The head
of the Zetas was murdered.
That's right.
And so nobody is above the anxiety, the fear, and the real risk of not being able to protect themselves.
Oh, I agree. I mean, the situation on the border, on both sides of the border, is very disastrous. And the ability of being able to protect your family and your property is extremely important. So, Tom Washington, would you like to wrap up, or Tom, or the other Tom, whoever would like to wrap it up in about a minute, please?
This is a very important project. I think you can see from what we've told you on this call that it's had great success in two areas, and we're now taking it to the rest of Texas through Michael Berlanga's campaign, Ralph Torres, a number of people who are running in heavily Hispanic and Latino communities, that getting the truth out to the voters in these races is very, very important to being able to elect good representatives for the people of Texas.
Absolutely. Now, I really want to I want to congratulate all of you for what you're doing. And Tom, if you could just repeat everyone's name one more time, and then we'll wrap up. So why don't you do that, Tom Washington?
Tom Meckler is on the phone call. Tom Meckler is a former county chair and currently serves as the treasurer of the Republican Party of Texas. Michael Berlanga is running for Texas State Senate in SD 19, which is the southern part of Texas and covers half the border with Mexico. It's a very important Senate district. Aaron Pena is a state rep that served over 10 years in the House of Representatives for Texas. And Aaron, on the last session, switched from the Democratic Party to the Republican Party. So he had a very important viewpoint, which I'm glad he shared with us. Mark Bolger, who is a past faithful navigator of the Knights of Columbus, is helping us with fundraising and really feels like doing everything he can to help us push along this project. Frank Steed has been the guy, the glue that's held this project together. Gotten the cards printed, gotten them produced, and Frank is the current Navarro County chair for the Republican Party. I serve the Republican Party as the assistant treasurer and also serve on the state Republican Executive Committee representing SD-12.
Well, Tom, I want to thank you and Tom and Frank and Aaron and Michael and Mark. I want to thank all of you for joining me today, and we will do this again, okay? We'll do this again before the election, just to see how the program is doing. I would like to do whatever I can to help you. This is obviously a program of interest to me as a conservative Hispanic, so whatever I can do, Tom, you've got my number. You know how to reach me. We'll do it again, guys, but you guys are doing a great job. Congratulations on this program, guys.
Thank you very much.
All right, guys.
Thanks for having us. We appreciate you.
My pleasure. You guys have a great afternoon, and we're going to take a little break, and we'll be back with Barry Bedville right after this. Goodbye, guys. Thank you very much for joining us. Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas. Let me say hello to my good friend Barry Bedville. This is a new feature that we're going to start doing on our show. It's a quote of the week. But Barry, you must have felt right at home, all that conservative Hispanic talk.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And it was good to hear it.
Yeah, good to hear it. Do you know the fellow who was with the Knights? Do you know that name?
Name sounded a little familiar. I can't put a face to it, though.
Yeah, I was not, I had not, I, his face is not familiar to me either. I guess he's more in the Houston area. But, Barry, we've got this great idea where once a week we're going to have the quote of the week, and you're going to be helping us with that. So take it away.
Absolutely. And it's called, I'm going to title it Words of Wisdom. And today's Words of Wisdom are brought to you by Emerald Isle Risk Solutions, your single source solution for all your business insurance needs, whether it's liability coverage, malpractice, workers' comp, we can take care of it for you. And without further ado, here we go. Poetry, good sir, in my opinion, is like a tender virgin, very young and extremely beautiful, whom divers other virgins, namely all other sciences, make it their business to enrich, polish, and adorn. And to her it belongs to make use of them all, and on her part to give a luster to them all. That was by Miguel Cervantes.
All right. Now, that's a fitting author, given our topic today, the Hispanic vote. And, of course, Miguel Cervantes was from Spain, obviously. And maybe some of the listeners, Barry, know the great book that he wrote, Man of La Mancha.
Yes, actually Don Quixote is the central character there, and he's an interesting guy. He never really made a lot of money during his lifetime off his writings. And in fact, he went to work for the Armada as a tax collector.
Wow.
And I'm reading a note here that he had many financial difficulties and was actually imprisoned more than once over it. You know, the same kind of thing where somebody steals a loaf of bread and they put them in jail because they can't pay for it. Well,
right, another famous book, right, by Victor Hugo. Wasn't that
Les Miserables?
Yeah, exactly, yeah, exactly, yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of people whose families are in this country because they took a chance on 7 or 14 years of indentured servitude just to get out of prison.
That's right. And, of course, the movie Man of La Mancha was very popular many, many years ago. I think it was Anthony Quinn who was in that movie, and Sophia Loren was also in that movie.
And Peter O'Toole as well.
Peter O'Toole as well. Pancho Panza, wasn't it? Sancho Panza was the other character.
Sancho Panza.
That's right. That's right. It was the other character in that story. Now, that quote from Cervantes, did that come from Man of La Mancha, or is that something separate?
No, that's something separate. Now he wrote poetry, he wrote screenplays, he wrote short stories, and then of course the work that everyone knows him for would be Man of La Mancha. But quite an interesting guy. He had an illegitimate daughter before he got married, and later on he and his daughter lived together while he was working as a tax collector.
Right. Interesting, there's an interesting, maybe this is more in the movie than in the book. I don't remember the book, but, you know, it's funny for the listeners, when you are like me, you know, of a Spanish background, you know, Cervantes is like Shakespeare. You know, everybody here has to read Shakespeare. And my dad and my mom, who were obviously educated in Cuba, you know, they had to read Cervantes. So, you know, they're more familiar than me because I was raised and educated up here. But there is a love story in Man of La Mancha where a woman comes back to see Quixote as he's dying. And I was trying to remember. Do you remember that at all?
I'll be honest with you. I read this book.
Yeah.
The last time I read this book, I was in college. So that's
no, I know, I know. Yeah, I know. That's as they say, you know, that was a few presidents ago, right? You know, that was a few presidencies ago that you and I went to college. But I mean, this is a fascinating fellow, Cervantes. I just think that, you know, it's good to quote him, Barry, because a lot of Americans probably are disconnected from all the things he said, and he was actually a very profound guy.
Oh, I looked in my directory, and the book is about 1,200 pages, but there's so many quotes by Cervantes throughout the book, and obviously I didn't go through the whole thing to find them, that they don't even list any of the pages because that he's quoted so often. So he really said a lot of stuff. It's just we're just not aware of it.
That's right, and a lot of the stuff is in Spanish was probably never translated because there was only so much they could do. But once a week, Barry, we're going to be doing this, and we'll have a quote of the week, and then we'll talk about about the author. Are there any particular areas that vary that you you think we'll be focusing on, or is it just wide open?
It's wide open. I'm going to try and, you know, get a I'll get a gear from you on Thursday as what Friday's show is going to be like.
Oh, okay.
I picked Cervantes because I knew you were doing a Hispanic theme today, and I thought, who's the most infamous? You know, he is the Shakespeare of the Spanish world.
Oh, absolutely. No question about that. Well, I'll give you a little clue about next week. The guest is from Romania next week, because next week we'll be back with Dr. Ileana Johnson, who's a Romanian lady originally from Romania. She left Romania when she was a young woman, so she's you know, an immigrant from a communist country like I am. And so you might want to come up with a good Romanian quote next week. See if there's a good, maybe Dracula. I mean, Dracula is in Transylvania, which is part of Romania. We're getting close to Halloween.
Well, don't forget that Dracula was written by Bram Stoker. And
that's right. That's true. But he did live in Romania. We'll give him credit for that.
Yes, indeed.
And, well, Transylvania, which is, of course, part of Romania. Well, Barry, it's great to reconnect with you. I should add that Barry and I have been friends for a long time. We both go to St. Catherine of Siena here in the Dallas area. And, of course, we're both members of the Knights of Columbus, which is a wonderful organization. I thought maybe we could take a minute here, or half a minute, and talk about the Knights for maybe people who are not familiar with the Knights. When were the Knights founded? It's an amazing story.
1882, they started out as a group of men in a church basement. Today, there's approximately 2 million men, and the Knights is an extremely sound financial organization that donates hundreds of thousands of man-hours to charity every year and millions upon millions of dollars.
That's right, and one of the things that you and I have been involved in is the pro-life program. This is one of the programs that the Knights have really specialized in every year around the time of the anniversary of Roe v. Wade. There's a lot of activity about the Knights of Columbus, from the Knights of Columbus, regarding the right to life. So I think this is really one of the signature causes of the Knights of Columbus, isn't it, Barry?
Absolutely. And in fact, there's two big initiatives right now that gain a lot of publicity. One is that the Supreme Headquarters will match any local entity dollar for dollar in providing an ultrasound machine for a pregnancy center.
Oh, wow.
And the other, and they've delivered over a million wheelchairs to invalids.
Oh, yes. And we should also add that the Knights of Columbus is an international organization, not just the United States. I should add that when we lived in Cuba, my father was a member of the Knights of Columbus in Cuba. So it's an international organization. It's one of the world's...
Absolutely. They're in South and Central America. They're in Poland.
That's right.
Very, very large in the Philippines.
It's an interesting thing. I was talking to a fellow one time from a communist country. I don't remember which one. Hungary, I think it was. And he said to me, you know, the first thing that happened when the communists came in is that the Knights of Columbus were thrown out. The first thing that happened when the communists got thrown out, the Knights of Columbus came back in. So that really tells you what the Knights stand for. You know, when we belong in a country after communism is out, I think that tells the whole story.
Absolutely.
Well, Barry, as always, it's a real pleasure. Thank you so much. And we look forward to these quotes. I'm looking forward to the next one.
See you next week.
All right. Good night, Barry. Goodbye, Barry. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas. Well, that's going to do it for today. We had a great program about the Hispanic vote today with Tom Washington and a bunch of others who participated. I have a list of all the guests, of course, on the show information. Support our sponsors, Aaron Cleary, The Book Worthless, and my good friend Leonard at Avalon Professional Translations here in Dallas. Everybody have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you later. This is Silvio Canto.